Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Hey, and good Sunday morning to you. It's Gary Wellings. I'm your host, and welcome to The Drift. We've got a couple of guests in the studio today, friends of mine, both of them. Matt Ochab, a man I work with sometimes, has the distinct, shall we say, reputation of having worked at Second City for several years. Tell me about that, Matt.
Oh, it was just something that I got into. I was kind of bored one day, and I thought it would be something enlightening, therapeutic, to be able to get out there and do whatever I wanted. And it's a little bit different than what I believed it would have been. And just, it took off. I had a lot of fun with it. And then when it was all said and done, I was ready to move on.
Oh, awesome. It's something I think a lot of people would love to be able to do, but most of us don't get that opportunity or don't take that opportunity if presented to us. I know you make me laugh at work just about every day. So my other guest is Joe Vollmer, a good friend of mine and CEO of Powertrain Solutions. Alternative, how did we say that, Joe?
Well, Powertrain Solutions specializes in looking at sustainable mobility. What are our engine solutions for the future? What fuels should we use?
Okay. And you have some awesome customers. You can tell me about your one customer out in Colorado.
Sure. Sturman Industries out there in Woodland Park, Colorado, right at the base of Pikes Peak. Work very closely with them, and in turn, with them, we work with the private sector, with different OEM engine manufacturers, as well as the Department of Defense and state agencies. So it's exciting times for that industry.
Awesome, awesome. So I brought you two guys in today because, Matt, you're my enigma. He's a liberal with a gun. You love your gun rights.
I do.
But it's a little more on the liberal side. And Joe, of course, is fairly conservative, sometimes on some issues even more conservative than I am. So I brought you guys in. I think we'll get a little banter out and lighten the mood a little bit today. But before we do that, we're going to get in and do my sponsor for this half hour, which is Brighton Ford. The Spittler brothers, Todd and Scott, run Brighton Ford and do a fabulous job. If you've gotten that idea that dealerships kind of just take you to the bank, this one doesn't. At 1-800-519-4155, you can get access to the newest Ford models, and they have a great used car department as well. So any make, brand, or model you can get at Brighton Ford. In the currentonline.com, you can pull down coupons from the newspaper. And they've got a free tire rotation coupon. They have a $19.95 oil change and a four-wheel alignment for $49.95, which is normally a $70, I think you'd pay for a four-wheel alignment like that. But 1-800-519-4155, call Scott Spittler. Tell him you heard it here on The Drift. And Joe, I think you've bought. I've bought three cars from them. How many have you bought from them?
I've got you mashed. I've got three as well from the Spittlers over there at Brighton Ford. And you know, everything about the place is great. The sales staff is outstanding. The service is outstanding. So they've got my business for life.
Yeah. What I like about their oil change, it is cheap as what you'd get at any of the quick change places. And they give you a list of things that may be going wrong with your car, but they don't try to sell you to do it. You know, they'd say, hey, here's some things you want to keep an eye on, which is really cool. So, again, call Brighton Ford if you're looking for automotive service or a new car. So, gentlemen, let's start out talking about a book that I'm reading right now called Gangster Government, and it's by David Fredoso, and it's got a foreword by Michael Barone, who's a heavyweight when it comes to editorializing from a conservative standpoint. And let's start with a clip, Derek, if you would, for me, that I think signifies much of what we see from the Obama administration.
Election. Instead of saying we're going to punish our enemies and we're going to reward our friends who stand with us on issues that are important to us, if they don't see that kind of upsurge in voting in this election, then I think it's going to be harder. And that's why I think it's so important that people focus on voting on November 2nd.
Okay. And the key point there was rewarding our friends and punishing our enemies. Polemarchus, from back in old Greek days, along with Plato, had a little quote that justice is that craft which provides good to our friends and evil to our enemies. And when you hear Obama say what he just said, it's not him alone. I think every president, every congressman, every senator we've had in the past has rewarded his friends at some point and punished their enemies when they can. And I think that's part of government, and we have to live with it. But when government gets to the size of our present-day government, that's when it gets being taken advantage of to the point that it's hurting us as a society. What do you think?
Absolutely. It's just a lot of things are just too big. Government itself shouldn't be that. It's for the people. It's not one of those things where, like, okay, I'm just going to scratch everybody's back that helped me out. And what I'm thinking about with the whole essence of just how big the government can be, I just think about the Occupy Wall Street type stuff with the 99% signs or I stand with. When you look at that and you're having people that are running our country that can be bought and paid for before they even step into office, I just kind of feel like, well, what's the point of even putting them in or electing them, especially when, the worst thing I think is that people waste the most powerful gift they have with their government is voting.
All right, so let me ask you, can you comfortably tell me you supported Obama the first time around?
Absolutely.
Okay, are you going to support him a second time around?
I don't know. I got caught up in the hype of the whole thing of just the change, the hope. I was really sick of the whole Bush-Cheney just, we're going to do this because God said so, we're going to attack Iraq, and just I never went to bed fearing that stuff, but he comes along and just says that we're gonna change everything and we're gonna bring the jobs back. We're gonna do this, and it's just like the more things change, the more they stay the same. And I'm really, really disappointed with how things have turned out with his first term. And I think I'm not alone in this.
Right, and I think a lot of people feel that way. I mean, I talked to a lot of people who voted for Obama, even though they weren't Democratic. They were looking for that change. Now, Joe, I know you didn't support Obama.
Correct. But I think one example you should look at is, look at a number of presidential pardons that these guys give out on their way out of office, too. If you want to talk about taking care of friends, when Obama's on his way out, just wait till you see the list.
Yeah. Well, that'll be an interesting list, too. Clinton's list was pretty awesome to see. But I think you'll see a giant list coming out of Obama that's going to make people tear their hair out. So, when you look at Solyndra, which for me, I think we're just on the tip of the iceberg on this one. The investigation is going to throw out all kinds of names and accusations. And I think you're going to finally see some resignations out of this administration they're going to throw him to the wolves because they want to save his hide for election time. And something that you'll see on the Daily Drift, if you go there, the Daily Drift, go to currentonline.com, CourantOnline.com. Click on the Daily Drift, and you'll see the stories I pick every day and put up there for you to read. And I think there's stories that you need to be informed with, so check it out at currentonline.com. Hit the Daily Drift tab, and you'll see a story from the LA Times, and it's by David Williams in Los Angeles, and it's about a no-bid drug deal that was given by the Obama administration for $433 million for a small box drug deal. And it's a threat that may not even exist at this point. But the big portion of that, though, is that there was no bid. I mean, at what point should a government be giving that size of a contract on a no-bid basis? It's just another opportunity for Obama to reward his friends. The guy that owns the company is one of his biggest donors. And again, at what point do you draw a line? I mean, this administration's just outrageously, and I'm sure they've all done it. We've seen Bush do it. We've seen others do it. But it's just outrageous that this guy does it so forwardly,
Yes, at Powertrain Solutions and Sturman Industries, we pursue opportunities from the government as a small business to participate in research and development all the time. And it can be a very tough competition. And it's unthinkable that there are cases out there where there's a no bid, no competition to win that sort of hundreds of millions of dollars. It's unthinkable.
Yeah, it's just, it boggles the mind that they can throw that kind of money around. So I don't think the federal government should have access to that kind of money to throw around that frequently. I mean, when we talk about Rick Perry forgetting that the Department of Energy was one of the departments he'd like to cut if he were president, I agree with him 100% on that. I mean, we need to cut lots of those government departments. What were you going to say, Matt?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, smallpox, is that really even an issue anymore? Why would you give $433 million to fight a disease that's pretty much, you can't really find it anywhere except in small little clusters, maybe in Africa or other poor nations, and just that is a ton of money just to waste on it. And then I was even reading even further, they don't even know if this vaccine works. It's experimental.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, some of us, the younger generation, doesn't even have the smallpox marks on your arm anymore. But
nope.
Again, it's something that's been eradicated. Now, maybe they're worrying about threats from terrorists or whatnot. But forgive me, our kids got one. You know, I've got a 7-year-old, and I know he got a smallpox shot. So I don't understand why $433 million is something that we should be throwing out to a company like this.
Absolutely not. And you mentioned the Department of Energy. You know, I do visit the Department of Defense and the Department of Energy on a regular basis. And, you know, I can tell you the Department of Energy has been a terrible disappointment. You look at some of the solicitations that come out and continuously won by the same companies.
Right.
In fact, you know, so it's become corporate welfare for large companies. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
And, you know, some of them are actually even German.
Okay. We're going to continue this discussion after the break and delve into a couple other subjects as well if we have time. But we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Michael Vincent and the Vincent Law Firm are the experienced attorneys you want on your legal team in any court case. Michael Vincent is a retired police officer and adjunct professor of law. You don't want to go to court without the Vincent Law Firm. The Vincent Law Firm, located at 302 North Huron Street in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Contact the Vincent Law Firm at 734-487-4970. Here's the First Amendment of the Constitution, courtesy of the Vincent Law Firm. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Thank you, forefathers, for that amendment and the Bill of Rights, and thank you, Vincent Law Firm, for supporting that document. Michael Vincent and the Vincent Law Firm, located at 302 North Huron Street in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Contact the Vincent Law Firm at 734-487-4970. That's 734-487-4970. Or visit the Vincent Law Firm on the web at vincentlegalservices.com.
Laura, the guys really went to town on that leg of lamb.
Yeah, thanks, Amy. I'm glad everyone enjoyed it.
Something's wrong. I know you too well.
Jim's company is cutting his salary, and he may even get laid off. He doesn't think we'll be able to afford the mortgage.
Oh, Laura.
If you think you may be in danger of foreclosure, call the National Foundation for Credit Counseling at 866-687-6322 or visit mortgagehelpnow.org. That's mortgagehelpnow.org. This has been a public service from the NFCC.
Hi, my name's Bob.
Hi, Bob.
I see this ad on TV, says I can reduce my debt by 50%. I call, they told me to stop paying my bills, stop talking to my creditors, they'd take care of everything.
I gave them thousands, but most of it went to their fees.
Getting out of debt is neither quick nor easy. There are those who will tell you anything to win your trust.
I'm more in debt now because the fees and interest on my cards kept piling up.
Talk to your creditors directly, or to find a nonprofit agency near you, visit debtadvice.org. This has been a public service message.
Do you have a question about your pension or 401k plan? Have your benefits been miscalculated or denied? Are you trying to claim benefits from a former employer that has relocated or gone out of business? Thanks to a grant from the U.S. Administration on Aging, you can learn your pension rights and claim the benefits you've earned. Services are provided to workers, retirees, and their families free of charge. Call the New England Pension Assistance Project at 888-425-6067 for assistance.
Hey parents, say hello to Instant Style with Fashion On. Just spray and look cool in an instant.
What about my bifocals?
Hey, I can't see. But your kids can see you, and trust me, they see fashion. Fashion On is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
I'm Susan Lucci. More than 2 million Americans have a type of irregular heartbeat called atrial fibrillation, or AFib, putting them at greater risk of stroke.
I'm Dr. David Willis, and I frequently see patients with AFib, a serious condition where a blood clot can travel from the heart to the brain, causing a stroke.
When I found out my husband Helmut had AFib, I pledged to learn everything I could.
Susan and I, along with my doctor, work as a team to help reduce my risk of AFib-related stroke.
Visit FacingAFib.com today.
No matter where you are in the world, whether you have a radio or not, you can listen to Wham! Talk 1600. All you need is a computer or even a smartphone. Just go to whamradio.com and click on the Listen Live link. See the latest updates to whamradio.com and be sure to listen live. From Trenton, New Jersey to Monterey, California, Toledo to Ishpeming, Wham! Talk 1600 is there, online and streaming live. whamradio.com. You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. We're discussing thugocracy, or gangster government. And I started reading the book, Gangster Government, by David Fredoso. And it's one of these books, a little dry. It's one of the things that sits on my bedside and kind of puts me to sleep every night. But it's filled with facts. Everything this guy puts in there, he's got a bibliography that's just a mile long, so it's full of facts. And if you want to understand, let's start with the automotive bailout. He talks about Steven Rattner, who wrote a book about how he overhauled GM for the Obama administration. He was the car czar. And one of the funny things that occurred to me is, like many people, I wanted to see the bailout at first because I didn't quite understand what the whole process was. And when they said bankruptcy was going to make the nation go into a depression, I don't think that's true anymore. I've seen, after doing my research on it, that the number of employees between the car companies would not have affected the United States as bad. UPS, Walmart, all have more employees than the automotive industry. So it's amazing that so much emphasis was put on this. Steven Rattner did something in the bankruptcy process that you don't normally see. In normal bankruptcy, secured creditors get their money first. And in the instance of the automotive bankruptcy for GM and Chrysler, the UAW, who is non-secured, got their portions first. So there was some favoritism given here that just doesn't make sense. And again, it goes back to political payback. The UAW spends four times more on politics than Lockheed Martin, Peabody Coal, Exxon, and Halliburton combined. Now, that's pretty astounding. That's $13.1 million in the 2008 election. And $5 million of those dollars went directly to help Obama. So, Matt, what were you sitting on the bailout of the auto companies back in the day?
I was absolutely for it. And I thought it was you couldn't let these companies go under. I have a personal stake in it. My father's at GM. My fiance is actually at Chrysler right now, and it just to see that fail and to put all those people, because they are good paying wages that they're getting. Although I do think they reduced the starting wage. They have a two-tier wage system now, where I think they were starting at like $14 an hour for right. New hires. And I think they, through the past negotiations, they were able to raise that rate a little bit, or to get the guys that had been in there at the $14 an hour wage rate a little bit higher. And I just think that industry is essential to any part of an economy. And once you lose that, I mean, I was told many, many years in college that the United States won't build anything. We'll be the service economy. We'll service everything. We'll be the call centers. We'll be all that good stuff that'll support whatever products that are made overseas for cheaper. But then you find out how easy it is to shift a call center to India or other places like that. And I think as long as you can keep a manufacturing base in your own economy, it's a strong point.
Yeah, I think we need to do that. I mean, it came up in this last debate right here in Oakland, University in Michigan. The CNBC moderators asked Romney why he was against the auto bailout. And that made me think twice, and that's why I started doing the research into this, because I did agree with it at first. But now that I look at the way it was done, and this book talks about the opportunities that we may have lost in a normal bankruptcy proceeding, what companies may have stepped in and bought parts of General Motors or Chrysler, and we might have two or three different car companies now. They may not be union, but they may have been union. You don't know that. But we may have lost a huge opportunity to seeing new car companies with new technology step into that void had it came. So it's mixed emotions for me. What do you think, Joe?
Well, I tell you, I couldn't agree more. We need to keep the manufacturing base in this country, and we need to bring back the parts that we've lost. It's ridiculous. So we can't become a service-oriented society here that sells hamburgers to one another. We need to make real things. The towns in America that have lost, there are complete towns that have been devastated by the main factory moving overseas. And those people, they do not have the standard of living that they had before. I think unequivocally, that's the first thing that needs to be changed in this country. We need to bring the manufacturing back. And when you look at on the issue of the bailout, I tend to look at it from a little different angle. not just the auto manufacturers themselves, but the supply base. That supply base depends on – they supply the defense industry. It's a national security issue too. It's not just – if a lot of suppliers, if they lose their automotive customers, they're not going to be able to support the defense industry, and that is paramount.
Right. It is. National security is huge. I mean, if we lose our manufacturing base, what would happen if we needed to participate in another global conflict?
It's already happening with China, where a lot of our chips are being made over there. And
yeah,
it's an issue also of national security. I mean, these are technologies that they have been developed here in the United States and then built over there for cheap. You don't think that there could be a copy? I mean, they're notorious, China, for basically taking a photocopier and then putting their own brand on it. I used to work for Caterpillar, and one of the guys went over to like ConEx in Vegas, like how they do like Comic-Con and stuff like that. You get the giant conventions over there. And they had bolt for bolt copied an excavator, even down to the shade of yellow that they used. And the guy who was presenting it from China didn't know that the guy I know was there and works for Caterpillar. And he's like, does it look like a Caterpillar? And he's like, yeah, that's incredible. And he was like, oh, good, because that's what we were going for. And I mean, if they can do that on an industrial level like that, and then on top of that, I'm hearing little rumblings that they're making counterfeit parts and sneaking them in, just as long as they pass the inspection for the parts that are good, they'll take the whole lot. I mean, I know when we at work, we do our things where there's just maybe we take a 10% inspection of all the parts that we get in, and we see what the failure rate is, and then reject the batch or accept the batch. And it's just, there's just no way you can check all these chips and stuff like that. But I mean, these are people's lives on the line.
Right. I mean, it is incredible. And that brings up the subject of tariffs, but we'll save that for another show. I mean, really, you have to kind of protect your industry here at home. And to do that, in a normal economy, China's obviously manipulating their currency to make it cheaper. You have seen, back in the 70s, the Japanese were beating our pants off by having a lower wage rate for their automotive workers. But what's happened to Japanese automotive workers today? They're in the same boat we were in back in the 70s because they're losing to Korea and India on cars because they're so much cheaper. Again, it's that disparity of wage rate that runs between our countries and lesser countries. And, 100 years from now, even the Chinese may be making 60, 70 grand a year as an automotive worker, But in the meantime, for this next 70 years, at what point have we risked our own national security by allowing our manufacturing to fall away into nothing? We've got plenty of factories here, but they're slowly deteriorating if they're not being used. But
places like Korea have newer automobile plants, newer industries, so they're not really dealing with a lot of the costs. I know now, especially with like America, we got retirees.
Okay. Yeah, let me remind you too, 734-822-1600. Call in if you want to talk to us or comment or give us your thought. And if you don't want to call in, you can go to gary@thedailydrift.com and email me.
On the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jared Halpern. Police in riot gear surrounding hundreds of Occupy Portland protesters. Those occupiers in violation of a midnight eviction order.
The people right now that are here are just so enthusiastic about, you know, representing their First Amendment rights peacefully and nonviolently.
Portland organizer Jordan Ledoux, dozens arrested at several Occupy rallies around the country this weekend. Two San Francisco police officers hurt after being attacked. Foreign policy, the focus of last night's Republican presidential debate.
Perhaps for the first time in any of their debates, no candidate made any major mistakes. There were differences over Afghanistan and troop withdrawal timetables, what to do about enhanced interrogation or waterboarding. Many of the candidates said it should be continued, but Ron Paul and John Huntsman called it torture.
Fox's Carl Cameron in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Economist Mario Monti expected to lead Italy's new government. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The Brides Project has a mission to provide brides with a socially conscious, budget, and eco-friendly option for purchasing a bridal gown and use these proceeds at the Cancer Support Community of Greater Ann Arbor for people touched by cancer. Are you the bride who loves to give back? After your big day, you can have your wedding celebration give back and enrich the lives of others by donating your bridal gown to the Brides Project. The Brides Project accepts gown donations from all over the U.S., then resells your donated gown to another happy bride with proceeds from the sale benefiting the Cancer Support Community of Greater Ann Arbor. If you are a bride that wants to donate your gown or just volunteer, visit the website at www.thebridesproject.org. The Dawn Farm Education Series is a free workshop series developed to provide practical, current information about addiction recovery, family recovery, and to help reduce the barriers that prevent chemically dependent people and their family members from getting help and getting well. Al-Anon, a panel discussion, will be presented on Tuesday, November 29th from 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. by a panel of Al-Anon members. All Dawn Farm programs are held at St. Joseph Mercy Hospital Education Center Auditorium, located at 5305 Elliott Drive in Ypsilanti. Admission is free. No registration is required. For more information on this event and many others held by Dawn Farm, please contact Dawn Farm at 734-485-8725 or visit the website at www.dawnfarm.org.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
Hi, I'm Julie Bowen for the March of Dimes, asking you to help save premature babies. As a mother of three healthy boys, it makes me sad to think that more than a million babies around the world die every year because they're born too soon, and that our country has one of the highest rates of infant death of any developed country. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.com to find out how you can make a difference in your community and around the world.
I want an old used truck. I want something from the 1950s or 1960s. I want my grandfather's Chevy. But you can't get them now. They're all like tricked out with a little teeny chain steering wheel. I don't want to look like I'm driving Mater, and I don't want a super truck.
If it has a flux capacitor in it, that's not what we need.
No. I don't want it. Although if it would put me into the past or the future, I wouldn't mind that option.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Don't miss the Glenn Beck Program, 9 to noon, here on Wham!
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600.
Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Good to have you here. Remember, this is a talk show, 734-822-1600 here at WHAM Talk 1600. We'd love to have your thoughts and comments. Give us a holler or email me, gary@thedailydrift.com, and I can take your comments online here on the computer while we're talking. Before we get any further, let me take my sponsor for this half hour is Viper Space Incorporated. Whether you're looking for help with your home or office computer, Viper Space is your go-to connection. Viper Space is big enough to handle your corporate IT needs and small enough to service your home office or gaming computers. They have some unbelievable deals on refurbs, demos from the most recent trade shows, and brand new equipment. Adam Ungelbach is a great guy to work with, very personable. 734-449-2683, or you can go to Viper Space, VIPERSPACE.com. Or you can go to currentonline.com, C-O-U-R-A-N-T, online.com, and there's connections there for Viper Space and Brighton Ford. If you're looking for a way to advertise your own business, you can go to, again, currentonline.com, and we can get you online internet advertising or in the newspaper. The Current is now being mailed out to 21,000 homes. We drop off another 5,000. And it's probably your best advertising deal for print media. You can call my friend Sam Iaquinto, 734-323-0777. Okay, so my guests today are Matt Ochab, comedian. Mm. Oh, no, comedian.
Comedian.
How you pronounce it, there's a difference, right?
Yeah.
And Joe Vollmer. We've been discussing a little bit about gangster government. And again, David Fredosa was the book. I highly recommend it, full of facts and figures that will help you make an educated decision in this upcoming election for 2012. Let us move on to one of my favorite subjects. And I know I probably sound like a right-wing crazy sometimes, but yeah, you get enough of this at work, don't you? We have public servants who, in many, not everybody, let's not draw that broad generalization, because some people are overpaid and probably many people are not overpaid. But there's an article in the Washington Examiner, and you'll find that again at the Daily Drift. Go to currentonline.com and click on the Daily Drift, and you can keep up on all my stories. Cashing out on their sick time. You know, those of us in the private sector, you and I, and our company that we shall not name they do not advertise with us.
Do not advertise.
They make us use our vacation and sick time, or not even sick time. They make us use our vacation time. We have to use our vacation time
or lose
sick time. Yeah. And we have to use it by the end of the year or we lose it. But in government, because of our government unions have given such, you know, cushy benefit packages, they can roll them over for years and years. And there's an article about a guy who's cashing out at retirement with an extra $15,000 in unused sick time. And frankly, you know, sick time is a benefit. It's not there as a cash crop for you. I think you should use it when you need to use it. And if you don't need it, don't use it.
Well, what if he's got a fantastic immune system? You can't punish him for that.
I have a fantastic immune system. You know what it is? I go to work even when I'm sick. That's just the way it is.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? But, you know, it's one of those benefits that really need to be looked at when we're dealing with civil servants. I mean, there was a time when civil servant meant you didn't get paid as much, but you did get a decent benefit package and you had a decent retirement. But it's become the golden cow or the golden egg. I mean,
it was honorable back then. Now it's...
Yeah, it's not. Now people get into it for the money. I mean, people actually go for the money. And it's insane. But Joe, now you've got a wife who is a teacher in Brighton schools.
Correct.
And we were going to actually hit on an article saying from the Mackinac Center that teachers really aren't overpaid. Now, Michigan CapCon is a conservative publication. And again, you can't draw that broad generalization because some school districts, teachers are not paid what they should be. We discussed Detroit, Matt and I were discussing Detroit, and I think Brighton and Whitmore Lake schools are very much like that. We did have, in Whitmore Lake schools, our administrative staff took, I think, almost a 20% pay cut.
That's huge.
And they led the way. They led by example before they asked the teachers. Now, in Brighton, Joe, you had a little different story.
Yes, it was quite a bit different. In fact, I think maybe at the end of the day, after all was said and done, the administration might have taken some cut. But clearly, you know, it's had a large impact on the teachers. As you mentioned, my wife is a teacher in Brighton. And when I look at the cuts that have occurred, it hurts. And, you know, you look at what it takes, in her case, you know, an undergraduate degree from the University of Michigan, a master's degree from Michigan State University. So, you know, you have $250,000 education to go in there and make $60,000, $70,000 a year after 10, 12 years on the job. It's a profession you better love, because you certainly aren't getting paid.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think teachers get into it because they care about the children, most of them. But again, you know, they need to be able to get into it for the right reasons. And the current system, the union system, protects a lot of teachers who probably should not be there. And as a result, just leave it. What am I trying to say here? It protects the teachers who we don't need, and keeps us from having good teachers.
Well,
you know what I mean?
You know, I just know I happen to be married to an excellent teacher, so I just look at how hard she works. I look at the, you know, so many people look at the in the teaching profession. They say, well, they get the summers off, you know,
right.
And you know, what they don't see is the evenings grading papers, the weekends grading papers, the professional development that they participate in. It you know, it goes far beyond the fact that they are actually on stage from 9 to 4. Now, a lot of people do not know what it means to be on stage from 9 to 4. A lot of people have jobs where they go to the bathroom when they want, they take smoke breaks when they want. It's a different game in that teaching profession. I could never do it.
Right, right. Now, I have taught. I've taught adult education and found it very difficult. You know, I wasn't the greatest of math students in school myself. And so when I taught at Detroit Public Schools, adult ed, Highland Park Schools, adult ed, Hazel Park, adult ed, it was tough. I was working with people who had not graduated and were trying to get their GEDs and learn a trade. And it gave me the ability to see exactly what teachers go through. I mean, it is very, very tough, especially in a tough neighborhood.
Right.
You know, so I know our Detroit teachers are underpaid. I don't have any doubt about that. I think our Detroit administration down there, DPS, probably way overpaid.
Too many of them.
Too many of them, you know, and it brings it back to, you know, education. How many levels of administration do we need in education?
And especially if it's that type of thing where these are the people who are running it into the ground, and they're getting paid for it, and they get rewarded for it, and they're the last ones to take the cuts for it. And I don't think you should be compromising the people who are actually doing the hard work here of educating by telling them, hey, look, you got to take a cut, or hey, look, you're going to have to buy the tissues for the class or the school supplies, and that comes out of your own paycheck. And it's tough. You can't justify, especially, I mean, you want to have a good educated society.
Right. Now, I got a kid in Canton Schools, and this year we got the list of teachers' supplies we were supposed to buy, and I thought, oh, we're not just buying pencils for the kids anymore. We're buying dry erase markers and all kinds of stuff for the classroom itself. And so there's 30 kids in that classroom, or 25, whatever it is, buying stuff to stock up the classroom. And I'm thinking to myself, where are our tax dollars going into the school system? I mean, every school, it hits me like a brick when I look at the administrative levels. Every school has a principal and his staff. Every principal reports to a school superintendent for the district, and they have a school, a superintendent has a school board that he reports to. Then they report to a state superintendent and a state school board, who in turn report to Arne Duncan at the Department of Education in Washington. And God knows how many billions of dollars we spend on him and his staff in Washington. And shouldn't that money be coming back downhill to our students? I mean, can we solve the problem of school funding just by eliminating a Department of Education and moving those billions of dollars that reside in Washington doing nothing for our kids, except putting in insane programs like No Child Left Behind, which mean nothing but more paperwork, and do nothing to help the children?
Yeah, I don't understand why there's any federal involvement at all. It seems like that should be a completely a state or local issue.
Right. And so, you know, Tim Walberg, who is our congressman here in the 7th District, I consider a good friend. If he's listening right now, Tim, please, let's see if there's a way to get some kind of legislation moving through a committee, at least, about eliminating a Department of Education. I know he had talked about it with me when we had lunch one time. And that's one of those departments that can probably go away, and most of us wouldn't know it. It wouldn't affect us at all, and the teachers would probably be better off without a department, a federal Department of Education.
My big thing is a set of standards nationally, just to be able to get on the same page that we're all teaching the same type of things, whether we're in Alaska or here in Detroit or anything like that. It's just, I think that nationally we do need just the standards, and that's the only thing I think that it should be organized just to make sure we're on the same level here across country.
Yeah, but even the curriculum, there might be different curriculum needs across the country too. So I think even the curriculum could stay within the states.
Yeah, I'd agree. I would agree with that. I mean, you might want to have a little more Hispanic history down in the Southwest if you have a bigger population, because it keeps the kids engaged. I've noticed that history books just within Metro Detroit change a little bit. And you'll get a little more African-American history down in the Detroit public schools than you would, say, in Muskegon, Michigan. You know, so yeah, I agree. A local control, I think, would be huge for making a difference with education. And I don't know that a blanket federal helps at all. Oh, and we have a call, and it's Ken from Livonia. Ken, welcome to the show.
Yeah, just wanted to comment. You were touching on not wanting federal involvement with the education system. And see, that is exactly why I will not support anymore the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, because both parties and the people that support the parties believe in federal education, federal involvement. I've become a supporter of the, in Michigan, the U.S. Taxpayers Party. And I think that what we have to look at in this country, both at the local level and the federal level, those of us that consider ourselves constitutionalists, conservatives, we're going to have to leave the Republican Party, because the Republican Party is not going to support those issues that we do.
Right. And you know what, Ken? You hit it right on the nail. I think eventually the Republicans will probably lose, and we may see a third party rise. And my only problem with that is the timing on it, because, you know, right now, let me ask you, come Election Day, are you going to vote for the U.S. taxpayer candidate for president in November 2012? Or are you going to vote for the conservative candidate, whoever he may be?
Well, right now, I don't see, except for Rick Santorum, any candidate running in the Republican Party that I could consider a true Reagan conservative. And in fact, I've been told by leaders of the National Constitution Party that they have actually been contacted by many of the larger Tea Party organizations, and that the Tea Party groups are actually considering throwing their support behind a third-party candidate if the winner of the Republican primary is not someone that they can get behind.
Right, and as much as I agree with you and the concept of that, the biggest concern for me with having a third party right now, because a third party is not going to be strong enough to beat Obama. He will not get the majority of votes needed to become president, whoever he would be. And I'm with you 100%. Don't get me wrong. I'm a Tea Party guy. I belong to the Willow Run Tea Party Caucus. I believe in everything they do. But I think for the immediate future, for these next few elections anyways, we have to reverse. In 2010, we took the foot off the gas, but we certainly didn't hit the brakes, because right now we still are running toward that cliff. And I really believe that any third party candidate at this time, and just this time, is not going to help. I think we really got to combine our forces with the Republicans, find a compromise candidate, and get a president who will not continue the path that we're going down right now.
Well, it just takes away votes from.
I do think, I look at the history and how Abraham Lincoln became president, because he was a member of a third party. a party that should never have won. If the Republican Party picks a rhino, people like Mitt Romney, he's not a Reagan conservative, he's not a constitutionalist, you know, no way. If the Constitution Party, on the other hand, found the candidate, and they're looking right now, that was strong enough, popular enough, conservative enough, I do believe that he could take it.
Right, right. Well, I would like to see that in hopes and dreams. We'll see what plays out over the next 8-9 months. But, you know, please, and I would give everybody, you know, make sure we at least do our homework before this election and make that decision on Election Day that, you know, it may not be the exact candidate you want, but you got to pick the lesser of two evils, if that's what it comes down to. I feel like I do that
well,
almost.
That's what it does come down to.
Every election is almost the lesser of two evils. So, Ken, thanks so much. As always, good points from you.
Take care.
And so let's, we got to head into another break here. Again, 734-822-1600. Love to take your calls and thoughts. Thank Ken from Livonia. And this is Wham! Talk 1600.
Go ahead.
Start your day. You want the latest information, news from around the world, and close to home. Wake up with an hour of Jim Bohannon's America in the Morning, 5 a.m. to 6. From 6 to 9 a.m., Wham! Brings you intelligent, conservative discussions that won't give you a headache. It's Bill Bennett's Morning in America, 9 to noon. You don't want to miss Glenn Beck, one of the most entertaining talk shows in America today. At noon, Laura Ingraham rips the left to shreds. She tells it like she sees it and doesn't hold back. Followed at 3 p.m. by Emmy and Peabody Award winner Lou Dobbs. At 4 o'clock, we fire up the microphone in our local studios for Theronex and On the Edge. Don't let yourself be a boiling frog. Get informed with Theron. 6 p.m. to 9, it's the Savage Nation with Michael Savage, Dennis Miller 9 to 11, and Lou Dobbs again from 11 to 1. Overnight, experience the supernatural with Coast to Coast AM. We're Wham! Talk 1600.
Hi, I'm Gregory Itzen, President Charles Logan on Fox TV's hit show 24. Chances are you or someone you know may be suffering from an incurable digestive disease called Crohn's disease or from ulcerative colitis. Join me in supporting the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America's mission to find a cure. Help raise awareness and funds for critical research by joining a Crohn's and Colitis Foundation Take Steps walk near you. Sign up today at cctakesteps.org.
Join us every Sunday morning for Wham's Weekend Worship. At 9 a.m., it's the Lutheran Hour, followed by the Christian Science Sentinel at 9:30. At 10 o'clock, we join Bethlehem United Church of Christ for their live weekly service. Finally, we visit the First Presbyterian Church of Ann Arbor from 11 to noon. Start your week off right with Wham! Talk 1600.
Vaccine-preventable infections kill 50,000 American adults each year. That's more than HIV/AIDS, breast cancer, or traffic accidents. I'm Representative Gail Haynes of Michigan. On behalf of Women in Government, I urge you to talk to your doctor about the vaccines you need from birth through adulthood. You can protect yourself. Please visit womeningovernment.org.
This is the ClarkCast with Matt Clark.
Saving the Republic. I don't have to stress to you how important that is. As I often say on this program, it's do or die for the Republic 2012. I firmly, with all my heart, firmly believe it is do or die for the Republic 2012. Just look how far we've grown as a government.
The ClarkCast, every Sunday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Wham!
With columns by Wham! Radio hosts like Theron X, Dave Janda, and Matt Clark, as well as the Capital Confidential and Herman Cain, you know that the current newspaper understands what's right. This free newspaper has been serving Livingston and Washtenaw counties since 2003 with area news, editorials, an event calendar, and more.
Published monthly by Whitmore Lake Media, LLC, the current newspaper includes a variety of interesting articles from Deb's Movie Corner and Ask the Contractor to the Legal Spot, Garden Spot, and a fishing column. Whitmore Lake has some great fishing. You might even see a picture of your neighbor reading The Current in an exotic, faraway land. Visit www.currentonline.com. That's currentonline.com. Subscribe for home delivery, details on the website, or pick one up free today. The Current Newspaper, a community newspaper for those with common sense.
The Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America, brought to you by the Vincent Law Firm. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Thank you, forefathers, and thank you, Vincent Law Firm, for supporting that Bill of Rights and that document 24/7. The Vincent Law Firm, located at 302 North Huron Street in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Contact the Vincent Law Firm at 734-487-4970 or visit the Vincent Law Firm on the web at vincentlegalservices.com.
Better tonnage, agronomic stability, and farm profitability. Have it all with the new Pioneer BMR Hybrid P1376XR, a 113-day CRM hybrid with the digestibility you expect from a BMR, plus the Pioneer agronomic traits to fill your bunker, superior stress tolerance, and disease resistance. New corn silage solutions from Pioneer. Simply better.
Pioneer. Science with service, delivering success.
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. Send the Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
And welcome back. I'm Gary Wellings, your host of The Drift. And you can reach me at gary@thedailydrift.com or editor@currentonline.com. But Gary at thedailydrift.com right now. You can send in your comments if you want. Our guests today, Matt Ochab and Joe Vollmer. Gentlemen, we had a call from Ken last hour who brought up a really valid point and third parties. And I think I feel very much the same way Ken does. I voted for Perot way back in the day because I was not happy with either party at the time. I think it was Michael Dukakis and first George Bush, and I didn't want either one of them. I think I skipped out of the country and didn't vote in that election, as I recall. But, or that was the second election. But first time I supported Perot. What do you think, third party, Joe?
Well, you know, I look at sometimes you read about these other countries in Europe and such that, you know, they seem to have so many parties to pick from, and it seems like the citizens of those nations have a much better chance of finding a party that actually fits with their personal opinions. So when I look at, you know, the two parties that we have now, they don't meet. Neither one describes me, and so I'm just trying to pick the worst of two evils, I feel.
And on the same level here, it's just you have two parties here, and it's just they're terrible. They're both terrible. It's like picking which puddle of vomit to lick from, and it's awful. It's god awful, and I don't feel like I fit the mold of either party. It's I'm not rich enough to be a Republican, and I'm not rich enough to be a Democrat. And having that midway ground or having something there that just throws it. I mean, we could have the Labor Party over here like they do over in Europe, but put the U in it like they do. So it's like something fancy for me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people may not know this. I've run for office several times. I've run as a Democrat, oh, God forbid, and I've run as a Republican at a local level.
But did you run, like, because it'd be advantageous to run as a Democrat because there's no way you could?
I ran for a number of reasons.
Were you an incognito
Republican?
But
the number one was the Democratic Party of today is not the Democratic Party of our fathers.
Absolutely not.
It is a socialist, progressive demon that has taken over the soul of the Democratic Party. I mean, people, you know, another guy we work with, mm-hmm. who is a staunch Democrat, and he knows deep down that it's not his party anymore.
No.
It is not. This is not JFK's party.
It is not.
You know what I mean? And I think a third party is a great idea, and I think long term we need to do that. But I don't know that the 2012 election is the time to start it. I really don't. I'm scared to death that we'd have that split in the Republican Party.
And as a Democrat, please start a third party so that we can take votes away from.
Well, exactly. You know, and when I did run as a Democrat, I said, I'm an old school Democrat. You know what I mean? I'm a Reagan Democrat. I believe in physical responsibility. You know what I mean? You need to be able to spend what you take in and no more. And I'm waiting for at least one politician in Washington to get on the bandwagon with a balanced budget amendment. Where is our balanced budget amendment? Where is it in process? You know?
It isn't happening.
Yeah.
You know, in Washington, and, you know, I deal in Capitol Hill, that's just not going to happen. They like that money. They want to buy the they want their votes bought.
Yeah. Well, to any of you politicians out listening, or federal or state, balance the budget. Stop spending our money. And that's the sound of another show in the hamper. Welcome, everybody. Thank you. Call us next week, same time, same channel, same bat channel.